I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you may be listening in Vancouver at CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca, or you might also be listening at 93.1 CFIS Prince George or 92.5 CBFX in Kamloops, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, and wherever you're listening from. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have today's guest on the show, Alana Miles, and I'm going to first play one or two of her songs. You probably know her best by Black Velvet, so here she is, Alana Miles, on Synchronicity.
Please. Friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at CITR.ca.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
On Friday, June 1st, for 24 hours, CITR is going to paint the airwaves rainbow. Starting at 6 a.m., CITR programmers will be producing an entire day of queer content in celebration of Pride season around the world, delivering messages of hope, fun, warning, and whimsy that may also include offensive language, sexual themes, and excessive on-air nudity. Listener discretion is advised, while indiscretions are strongly encouraged.
This just in, Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cabba Radio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the Chai Miracle, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cabaret Radio.
And welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today's guest is Alana Miles. So we just played Black Velvet and Trouble, which is from her latest album. Hi, welcome to the show, Alana.
Boy, we went from... Oh, thank you, Marie. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks. It's so good to have you on the show again. It's been a while.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad that you indulged me in a rebroadcast because... this time it's live, and I don't believe it was last time. Nonetheless, that doesn't matter. But I'm filled with less ponderance than perhaps I was, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Over a year ago.
It seemed like at the time there was a lot that you seemed to need to get off your chest about the struggles that you had earlier on in your music career.
Yeah,
as well.
And you know, the your show is not the place to do that.
Well, I was happy to have you on the show, and I'm just curious.
Nobody likes a venter.
Oh, believe me, I vent all the time on this show.
Yeah, I suppose that's what reality TV is comprised of.
Well, thank you again for being on the show. And I'm curious, Alana, what has been your journey now since the last time we spoke to you? You had that opportunity to get that off your chest. And so since then, what has changed in your life?
Let's see. What's changed is I've been able to manage my pain a little more. You know, we have choices. We can do as the doctors say, and we can take the pain that bypasses the stomach. So we make a safety valve for the stomach to survive, but it'll whack us out, and we're on a morphine drug that, you know, whacks the pain right out of us so that we can get up and walk. But I've opted not to to obliterate pain because I believe... I know this sounds altruistic, I know, but I can, and I wish I could explain in fine detail why, but pain is a necessary ingredient for our spiritual development.
Mm-hmm.
I had to, you know, wipe out enough pain for me to continue without crying every day, but at the same time, enough to listen to my body and what it's trying to tell me and my dreams and what they're trying to, where they're trying to lead me so that I could follow up the path of my spirituality and get closer to my maker to find out the answers that I need to move forward. And in doing so, that's perhaps the change.
So, Alana, I'm curious about what are some of the things that you do on a daily or weekly basis as part of your spiritual practice?
Well, for example, before you called, I was in quite a panic because I had to get to a live interview with Marie Bernard, and and I was not ready. But I stopped, I paused to light two candles. Don't ask me why I lit two, one for you, one for me. I don't know. One for me, one for my little pussycat Ariel. I don't know. But somehow or other, I needed to pause and do that. By listening to that one very small, it only detained me a few seconds, but it seemed to be important for me to do it in order to draw light or perhaps to draw the dark that I know is out there and threatens someone. A person of who's striving for light will always attract darkness. And in order to dispel it, we have to do things in our mind that aid us to feel a sense of protected, particularly in our own homes.
Thank you for sharing that, Alana. And I'm curious. The other day I was looking on your YouTube page, which is youtube.com/AlanaMilesOfficial.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to check that out. But I was listening to the song Bad For You, and I was noticing there was a lyric in there, even I'd run from me if I could. And I'm wondering now, I don't know, is that really how you were feeling at the time, or was that just a lyric?
No, that's just a really funny line by Desmond Child, who is like a mogul in America, a songwriting mogul. He has written Living on a Prayer for Bon Jovi and many, 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 many Cher hits and many, many other 80s, 90s hits. And we were put together, me and the fellow that wrote God Was One of Us, named Eric Bazillion from the Hummers. No, not the Hummers, the something starts with an H band. Can't remember. Anyway, brilliant songwriters. And I was put with them. And he saw my image as somebody, firstly, he was envious of me in a relationship that I had with one of the other writers who was a nice-looking, attractive blonde, sweet guy. And I won't mention any names, but he didn't like how I was so, it was so easy for me to pal around. And his sexual preference made it difficult for him with the other sex. And so I was envied for being so, it was so easy for me to be one of the boys, even though I was a girl. And I don't know whether that was his motive. I really don't know, and it doesn't really matter. I shouldn't even be bothered analyzing it. But it was very cruel what was hurled at me in the session when we wrote the song. And although I'm smart enough to know a clever line when I see it, he wanted the song to be all about how what a ball buster I was. And I begged him, please, could I please have some respite? Like, maybe we could have a two-line Beatles bridge that says how good I am. And he wouldn't have any part of this. And instead, he decided he was going to argue with me in front of Eric Bazillion, who was just red-faced, couldn't believe the disrespect, that, you know, who do I think I was? I had this one hit, and now I'm professing to be the, you know, gift to all songwriters and that, you know, whatever, to prove his point, he got nasty. And I basically Judas kissed him on the side of the face, meaning I wanted to plow him, but instead I kissed him and betrayed him with that kiss into thinking that everything was good and all fine and I was going to allow this. But instead all I was doing was hanging up our indifferences to finish the song. And what happened was I walked. I've given my input. It was no longer needed. I was, pointed to the door. I gave the Judas kiss. I walked. I went to the fireplace. I stared at it for a few hours, wondering how could people be so cruel? Why would they? We were all here to create. We're all on the same page. What motivates people? And when I got back, Eric Bazillion, bless his heart, the God Was One of Us fellow, he from the Hooters. That was his band. And he wrote, I know I got a good side too, and I could do some good for you, but I'm bad for you. So the juxtaposition had to be someone who was so awfully, terribly awful, even to themselves. They'd even run from themselves if they could. But yet they had some good, you know. So to me, bless Eric's spiritual heart, he knew what I was going for, and he did it in two lines or less, and then added a harmonica, innocent but Dylan-y-like harmonica solo to it before the chorus comes back in. And to me, I thought it was brilliant. And now I have a story to tell.
That's awesome. I did notice the bit at the end where maybe you could do some good for him. And then I was surprised to hear it go like back into it again, but I'm bad for you. So,
well, I know, but it was a conflict between, for whatever existed in that writing triad, it was the conflict that made the song work. But ironically, nothing could have made it work on the radio, even though people really do wonder, what the hell? There were too many enemies. There were too many people standing in my way. I got too big for my britches in Canada, and a lot of people were going to, a lot of people loved what I did and so on. But then with that comes the darkness of a lot of people not wanting you to have what you have, and maybe in positions of power of wielding it for personal reasons, and I that was my cue. I should have taken from a group like Aerosmith to continue instead of to back down.
Well, thank you for explaining that so clearly, Alana. And also, now you have a new album, Black Velvet.
Well, it's about two or three years old now, so it's not that new.
Newish.
It's my current release, yes.
Yes, and it's independent, right?
Well, I once I'd spent well over $250,000 creating it, I needed to find a home. So the only home that was willing in Canada was an indie label. And so I signed with them, and I have no regrets. They're a great label, but nobody had any money to fund it because they were busy buying a new record label. It was Linus Entertainment, and they were purchasing True North Records. So all the budget was kind of on hold.
And so, Alana, now I just played the song Trouble, and I love how feisty you are, and I love your bluesy nature. And so I'm wondering, when you were writing it, the lyric is, when I'm in trouble, I call 911, but I dial 911 when I'm in a fix. When I need you, baby, I call 666.
So, well, it was my the way I dealt with when I believed, this is a really lengthy subject, but I'll try and shorten it. When I believed then in such things as curses, I truly believed. I gave power to that belief, which only fueled and attracted all things dark. So as powerful as a person is inside to attract whatever to themselves is as powerful as what it is they attract. So in believing in curses, I attracted the very thing that I believed in to kind of set me off the plot or to rock my boat a little bit and maybe scare me. And what happened was I learned through wiser heads that the belief in a curse is what feeds it. There is no such thing as curses. There is no God that has given a human that much power to wield until death do us part and beyond, unless we as humans allow it to become a God belief.
And so, Alana, the last time we spoke, you had talked about your involvement with spiritualism. Now, I'm wondering, is that the actual movement of spiritualism, or were you using that word as generally to mean spirituality?
What do you mean, word? Which word?
Spiritualism. Because there is a type of religion, a belief system.
Oh, I just simply mean I was allowing the message to come out of me in a funny way about the crossroads and Robert Johnson and using the devil. Well, ironically, someone I know who believes in curses, who believes they have been besieged by them, they thought it was a fabulous song. I wish I could say who it was, but it would not be very fair of me to use their name, but someone very impressive. And they said, holy wow, that's amazing, that's amazing, that's amazing. And then when I said, oh yes, it's a song about the devil, suddenly you can't play that, forget it. They just completely wrote it off their list. And I went, whoa, you got a problem.
Interesting. So when I heard the song, I assumed that it was, because the video is quite fun. It's this girl, I don't know, she's got a bag of money somehow, and the cop's there, and she's seducing him. I mean, she's a bad girl.
Yes, that was the filmmaker, Alan Saulnier, who very generously, with his crew, did a fabulous little video. He did a great little video. I am so happy with that video.
It's great. I really loved it. And I assumed that the 666 was just some bad boy in your life. I didn't realize it was.
No, it would have been my direct relationship with the bad boy of all bad boys. And it just because I don't believe curses exist doesn't mean I don't believe that bad boys don't exist in the spiritual realms. But why on earth would we want to feed them our energy? By drawing, like I drew so much energy to the dark side by believing in it, by celebrating it, by being obsessed with it, being, what's the word, sensationalizing it. You know, the occult, And it's such a indulgence.
So I'm curious, Alana, though, did anything positive come from that? Because it seems like there's some wonderful lyrics that have come from that belief.
I think that how these young girls deal with their relationships in songs?
Yes.
I was dealing with my relationship with God in songs. After, when I first started out, it was all about love, sure. And then I found more interesting things to write about. And that particular song, it was sung so well, it was the demo. So I never had to sing it again. It was the first time it came out of my mouth in Nashville with the writers. So I just kept it, and we built the track around it. Because it just flew. It was like, I'll never be able to sing like that again. It was one of those moments.
Oh, I love that. It is magic. I mean, the song is just...
So in the positive sense, the dark side that I had believed in at the time when I wrote that song with those folks that helped me write it, in the deep, dark South, served its purpose, and now is just a really fun thing. And ironically, it now parlays what I want to do with my next creative venture for all to see. That's how I left off on the last record, and that's where I'm going to pick up on the next one.
So are you able to reveal any of that, or is it hush-hush right now?
Oh, I don't have a label for it. I'm not going to release on an indie label because, things are changing so drastically, and now the what we have at our fingertips to, to be able to make back the proper amount of royalties for our hard work, it's all there out there for us, and the distribution of those royalties and so on, provided you can present the record. So once I figure out how I'm going to or who I'm going to collaborate with on my next venture, I might do things quite a bit differently than they were done in the past. But when you're not ready, don't be springing forward. I don't need a crash course.
So, Alana, now at the time you wrote Trouble, you'd believed in curses and the occult. And so let's talk a little bit more about what your beliefs are now. It seems like...
Yeah, that was 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it took that long for you to... Okay, and then...
Well, that doesn't mean that I learned today. It just means that 15 years ago, that's where you said what you pointed at was, where the occult, the this, the that. 15 years ago, I was there, but I wasn't there 6 years ago, or 7 or 8.
And so what are your, do you have a specific belief system at this point, or how has it changed?
It's changed drastically, and... what the biggest change is that A, I don't owe anybody an explanation of what my faith and beliefs are, and B, I must be careful in how I disclose my beliefs because they're going to be way too heady for some who would use me as a poster girl for ridicule, and I don't care to do that to either myself or my spiritual beliefs.
Fair enough. So it sounds like you, at this point, are wanting to keep your beliefs quite private, close to your heart.
I will allow some to escape, they must only do so naturally when what is in front of me is called for. I won't go beyond the call of duty because it just gets me into trouble, and I don't need it.
And so, well, thank you, Alana, for being on the show and your willingness to share your practice. And I love that you lit candles before the show. And I'm curious now to know, I'm getting the sense that there's still some things that you're keeping to yourself, which of course is your prerogative, but I am really curious to know what you're working on next, because you did allude to that being the last Trouble kind of being an indicator of where you're next.
A vintage blues jug band record with, I've written all the songs, and what I haven't written will yet get written, but it's a very raw, and I'm what I'm waiting for is that spiritual quotient to kind of descend in my bones to, let's say, for lack of a better way of describing it, whatever descended into my voice or my blood or my being when I sang Black Velvet, which was so soulful and so honest. I would say it was my dormant spiritualism, but it was brought out in a very natural way. And ironically, the big one-hit wonder everybody accuses me of being is so grand. I never thought that it would affect young people the way it does, and be the, you know, have kind of like a hold such a marker for young lady rocker singers. You know, I didn't know that I titled my record Black Velvet because I didn't think people would remember my name. And then, you know, in the last 3 years, I realized how foolish that was. Everybody calls it Alanna Miles' Black Velvet. Well, what did I know? It was an unvain decision. It was a decision made to wave the flag and say, remember me. And I didn't need to do it.
Hmm. Well, people remember you, for sure.
Evidently. And, you know, in trying to keep within the realms of our conversation here, my and what you're asking, I want to make a spiritual record, but you know, I hate labels, and I'm the biggest user of them. But one word can send people off on a tangent or a direction, thinking the wrong thing. You know, because Alanna Miles can't do a blues record; it'd be boring. That's why she never did one. And Black Velvet isn't a blues song, but it did what it did anyway. You know, Robert Plant called it that's a blues song with a chorus. That's just a blues song with a chorus. Well, he was right, wasn't he? Blues songs don't have choruses. They repeat themselves over and over again in 12 bars. Black Velvet had wonderful chords and had a B section and it had a chorus, and it was a story about the king. Blues songs tend to be things that are, they tend to be spiritual reckonings with the devil. At least the best ones. You know what I mean? So I'm reckoning with my devil on this next record. I'm reckoning with the grandmother who did rotten things to me. I'm writing a song called Poke Your Granny, because she's lying in a grave, yeah. Poke Your Granny.
That's hysterical. I love it.
And it's really, really rude. But where am I going to put it? I don't want to be rude to people. I don't want to be rude to myself. But I got to put that somewhere, because it's an ingredient that you know, Black Velvet, the subject matter was about this wonderful man, and it was a beautiful, beautiful lyric. I don't think that, you know, I need to worry about singing songs about, you know, Elvis anymore. I would like to do maybe... But it is interesting, isn't it, that Elvis was the only artist of his period endeavor who had number one hits in all four categories, including gospel and spiritual, rock and roll and country and pop. So it's interesting that my spirit was attracted to a song about a man who made a career of spiritual music. So I'd like to put a little more of that spirituality into my music, but I'd like it to come from me, you know? I really need to feel the urge to get right down into a deeper place to reckon with my grievances in my little world that other people can relate to, in terms of, you know, everybody's dealing with choices. There's so many choices out there. There's so many sins of omission. There's so many... chances and opportunities for us to do the wrong thing and very few to do the right.
Well, Alanna, I'm really curious with spirituality. This show is about spirituality, and it's interesting that you're openly so brave to talk about the darker side of spirituality, because I find that so many people, they get on this spiritual path and they want to think good thoughts, they want to be happy and positive, and that's wonderful, of course.
That's great, I know, but you know, it's like blah, blah, blah. I see, get on these blogs and you know what I'm talking about, and I see this blah, 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 and I go, shut up. You know, like, it's not all roses and smelly poo. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It sucks. And so how do we deal with it? I want reality. I need reality. I got accused from a fan with it was an unfortunate thing. She was feeling sick and maybe she's dying of something and she's chosen to be happy, but evidently not with me. So she takes pot shots and says, you know, you're so selfish, you're this, you're so that, you're so this, you're so that. And I'm thinking, well, gee, you're not very, you know, kind of see why you're dying. Sorry. You know, we kill our spirits. We let our spirits go. Right now, I could do the same thing. I could be a real grump, could be a real grumpy ass, and blamey and negative and say, oh, well, boo, boo, boo on me. And I've opted, and terrible things have happened to me. But I'm saving for the book. And there's no point in allowing the darknesses or the whatever motivated people to do such dastardly things to affect my forward progress spiritually. Once we get off dwelling on their spiritual progress, we can dwell on our own. You know what I mean? And people are really searching, and I think that's what I meant. You know, when you see it out there, people waxing on poetic about how spiritual and how they were. And lucky those people who are raised and who go into that glowing ether of sunshine and can spend every day and share their every mood and moment. But don't you dare tell me they don't have a dark time when they're crying and in tears and things just suck. Because they're not human if they don't.
Yes, and that's the point I was getting at, is that so many times we deny the fact that we all have dark times, we all have struggles, we all have negative thoughts and beliefs that maybe aren't necessarily happiest for us, but it's part of being human. And I was at this workshop over the weekend, and I kind of came to this, I don't know if it's the first time I've realized this, but so many times that I'll get into a period where I'm low and I'm feeling, I start to judge myself about, well, why am I not happy? Why am I not feeling myself? And I try and push it away and deny those feelings. I can't feel sad today. I can't afford to feel sad. I have to be happy. And what happens is I end up feeling worse.
Well, because you suppressed it. Right.
Exactly. And yet at the same time, when I look back on those periods after I get through the hurdle or through the dark time, while I'm in it, it's harder to see. You kind of have blinders on and your perspective
absolutely.
Is limited.
And that's the time when sometimes the universe or your God or your special angel, sometimes that's the time when they want you to reach out to another human being to help you, because you're not God. You can't do it all yourself. And reaching out to the right source of help can really set you on your path. It really can. I know I've done it for others, and I know others have done it for me. It can really set each other on the right path, on a good path. You know? It's like I have this wonderful therapist, and she's a spiritual lady. And she can set me on the right path and order my brain thinking, because we address that brain thinking, that self-persecutory attitude towards, you know, it's the mother whipping you into, you'll never be good, you can never do that, you can't do that, what do you mean, you're not a musician, blah, blah, blah. It's the point at which, and I was having a conversation with my sister in California earlier this week about the fact that, yeah, but that broken record inside of us, you know, we got to take responsibility for that broken record. You're in your 50s. Mommy is long gone. Mommy, you have no right to blame mommy for what it is that you are now. That's mommy's voice, and now you got to break with if you've learned only negative energy, if you learned only negativity towards yourself, you've got a greater challenge to break those patterns, to want to hurt yourself. And it's done on subtle, subtle levels, but it can have a profound effect.
That's so true. And I love how you say, you know, because when we... Our childhood really does have a lot to do with who we become as adults.
Absolutely. We all make choices. If someone chooses to betray, that's because they felt that's what they needed to do, and they'll have to reckon with that betrayal. And the guilt they will feel will be insurmountable. The one who is betrayed will have to reckon with what brought it on, and I've chosen to see it as a grand opportunity for betterment of my soul, and a great big crystal ball that indicated to me what it is I really needed to learn, and if I didn't learn it, I would be doomed to repeat it until I did, and it gets worse and worse and worse. So the more you push away your feelings about whatever it is, I don't care what it is, the more you're going to reach for the bottle or the bottle of alcohol or drugs or sex or something to compensate, or controlling your mate or whatever, controlling your children or whatever. The more you're going to compensate if you don't deal with your own issues of self-love or lack thereof. Or in my case, I didn't know how. I had all the wrong messages, never given the right instruction from childhood on. In fact, I was defiled from any kind of good experiences in love before the age of 5. So my challenges are very strong. They're profound. They're far-reaching. But I'm proud of myself because I made a choice not to ever do such things to others. Now I must make that profound. I must make that leap of faith where I must now learn not to do it to myself.
Yes,
you know that for whatever it is, I will. I'm damned if I'm going to find out before I leave this life what has me feeling the need to persecute when God does not persecute. You know, He makes us all. We're all born into, you know, bodies. They say that we choose prior to arriving that will enhance or conveniently place us into spiritual working conditions to better our souls. And I really believe that. In the bottom of my heart, I believe that. And I believe that if you can fix your karma, even if you're not speaking to the person, if there's a good reason for why, then you've done the right thing for yourself.
I love that. And I just thank you so much for sharing your experiences, because it does take a lot of bravery, especially being in the public eye, because like you said, people will cling on to one little thing that you say, and nobody is, you're ever going to have everybody agree with them or everyone like what you say.
Even worse in my situation where I believe that every experience that comes to us, no matter good or bad, is a lesson. So the person felt they got a load off. They felt they could point the finger and set me on the right path, because in their opinion, I was this, I was that. Because that was what that's their opinion. But they followed me around indefinitely and watched every single move I made to determine that opinion. So they weren't ready to like me in the first place. Or even if they were and they decided not to like me, that's still their decision. But dislike me for the truth, not for what you believe is the truth and is misinformation.
So, Alana, now I'm curious, you had mentioned one way to that we are able to help ourselves is to reach out and connect with other people who are able to help us. But there's another something in your life that I feel probably has quite a big impact on you feeling more connected, more happy, more spiritual, and that's your kitty.
Your kitty cat.
Can you tell us about your kitty cat?
So sweet. I really believe that animals show us the way because they're on a different vibration than humans, and I believe they incarnate, and I believe that sometimes they incarnate towards us to reunite with our souls, and oftentimes I believe I've had two Bengal cats in the last 2 years. Well, the first one I grew attached to in a way I've never grown attached to an animal before, and even the horses I had and loved so. I didn't have 10 horses. I had one horse every 10 years kind of thing because I would connect with the horse, and I would learn things from the horse, spiritual things. And I would learn how not a male with a strong ego, I would learn how the horse would teach me how I cannot treat men. Otherwise, you know, they were gonna quit at the fence and I was going to go plowing off in the mud. So when you don't listen up. But the kitty that I fell so deeply in love with, I treated that kitty like every day was his last day. He would bite me so terribly, I could not train him not to bite me. In secretly my heart, I didn't give it much thought. I did wonder how I was going to cope with him doing that wild Asian leopard, because Bengal is a strain of Asian leopard that still has that wilderness, you know, gene in him. And he was going to bite me. He was biting me because he was saying, "Get a grip, babe. Nothing wrong with you." And when he died, he didn't want to go. And he wasn't a very well cat, but boy, he taught me to stand up to the dark forces that may have been flowing in me from whatever, that he recognized should not be there and would bite them, attack them. Every pet owner knows their animal sees stuff that we don't. And when the dog responds in a really negative way, unless it's just a yappy monster, an animal owner will recognize something's not right based on the reaction that their animal is giving. And I knew something was not right. Something really was not right. And then he died of a heart attack. I had to put him down. It broke my heart. And I was very grateful that he came and taught me such a valuable lesson. He got me out of bed and I've been ill, and he got me out of bed and started to feed myself because I had to feed him. He got me out of bed and kept me on my feet so I could, you know, pick up after him because he was a big mess maker, you know, like big leopard cat. He was twice the size of a normal cat and twice as rambunctious, or 10 times more rambunctious. But the second one came, and he was directly the same spots, same looking animal, completely different personality. Now he's come to teach me the sweetness, the hardcore, deep down sweetness of a genuine, like a little child, you know, a little baby kid, little babies. They don't know anything but sweetness. They don't have evil intent. And not generally. I think it's shown them. You know, I don't believe people are born evil. I really don't. And this little kitty is teaching me how to trust in the innocence exists.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Because when you lose, I'm going to cry. When you lose your connectedness with innocence, there's just no point in being alive. That's what children do for us. Children and old people. There's way too many cell phones in this world.
Oh, well, Alana, I just want to, I see that innocence in you, and I know from one person who's had a rough childhood to another, you know, that it's still there within you. I mean, there's so much love for you in this world, and I know that you've had your struggles, but you've also served the world with so much of your passion and your love, and I just want to appreciate you for that and share my love for you for that.
So kind. Thank you so much for saying so. It makes me feel so good.
I'm glad. And Elena, if we're going to have time to play one more song, I should start wrapping up soon. And so I'm wondering if there's anything that I haven't asked about that you feel is really important that you want to get across today.
Isn't it amazing what happens when you reach out to someone and say, hey, I think I made a mistake there, and if I'm going to be an example setter, I don't want to leave that kind of example. Can you help me? Can we destroy that and start all over? And you said yes.
Thank you. Well, just to let listeners know who may not be aware, you had done an interview with me a couple of years ago, and I posted it on my Facebook, and then you emailed me and said, you know, I just don't feel like I really represented myself in the way that I'm comfortable with now. I'm in a different place in my life now, and would you please take that down, and I would be happy to do another interview with you. And I said yes, because how could I refuse? I mean, it's such a pleasure.
A lot of people would, though.
Really?
Gee, I don't know. You know, I don't think I don't think many people would ask. Once it's done, it's done. Right? Ouch. Sorry. Playing with my jewelry. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would ask. And it was it seemed important to me. I'd heard the interview, can't remember why, what, when, where, but I heard the interview, and I just got my back up. It made me cringe. I went, ooh, don't like me in this.
Aww.
I don't like me. And I felt like, oh, my God, I felt so indulgent, like I'd ragged on about stuff I'd no business ragging on about, and in this interview I did not. Instead, I tried to use what it is I've learned over the last, say, it's been a slow burn for me, but what I've learned, let's just say, you know, and certainly since the last time we spoke, how much I've learned that can dispel some of the moronic impressions I have of myself or others, or I may have, you know, invented in others from what it is I projected.
Well, thank you so much, Elena. And before I say goodbye, is there anything else you want to add?
No, thank you very much. It's a pleasure speaking with you. Where am I speaking to today? Where are you located?
It matters
because I know you've got a global audience.
I'm in Vancouver. The station's in Vancouver.
All right. Fellow Canadian.
Yes.
I thought you were American.
Nope.
All right, there you go.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time today and for your beautiful gift that you share with the world through your music. And you're also on Facebook, and your website is alanamiles.com if anyone wants to connect with you there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and be well.
Thank you, Marie.
All right, love you, girl. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Elena Miles. And again, you can go to her website, alanamiles.com. I'm going to close the show with her song, Bad For You. Coming up in just a moment here on CITR is Parts Unknown. So stick around for that. And through this workshop that I was at this weekend, I was shown this prayer, and I just want to share it with you, because the way that we are able to create more for ourselves, like Elena had mentioned earlier, how so many people are just out for me, 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 me. And when we are we focus on what we can give to the world, that opens up so much for us. And so this is Yabez's prayer, where he is asking for the opportunity to share and serve with others. Oh, bless me indeed and expand my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And so I also want to end the show with a message to you. I love you, I bless you, and I thank you. Namaste. We'll be back next Monday with more synchronicity. Have a fabulous day.
You think you know all about me, 'cause you spent the night, yeah right, not quite. You think you're the one to tame me, I'm your mother's worst nightmare, and not a control freak, just wait and see. Killer with a conscience, so I'm warning you, watch what you do, think before you try my patience.
At Pat's Pub, see the progressive Vancouver artist Darren Cassie and the